Keep in mind as we read this that the theme is the Lord's deliverance of his people from the power of the devil. And so keep in mind that theme as we read this passage here, David's Psalm of Deliverance, pointing ahead to an even greater deliverance. And David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Saviour, thou dost save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, the cords of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry for help came into his ears." Then would you turn, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5. Text for the sermon is just verse 3 this afternoon, but I'll read verses 1 to 5 from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith." Now a text. "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ." And then if you would turn also to the Heidelberg Catechism to Lord's Day 52 and question 127. Lord's Day 52, just the one question out of that Lord's Day. Question 127. The section that finishes off with the Lord's Prayer, and question 127 deals with the sixth request. What does the sixth request mean? "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil" means, by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own, even for a moment. "And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us, and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are our refuge. Help us therefore to turn to you and seek your protection. And Lord, as your word sets the certain hope of salvation before us, when we hear that word preached today, we pray that you would confirm us in that hope as we fix our eyes upon your Son. We pray it in his name. Amen. Covenant people of God, where crime is very high in those places in the world, and even some places in New Zealand, where the crime rate is higher, you often find residents seeking to hire security firms to give them a little bit of extra protection. Put in an alarm system, perhaps, or some cameras, or a high fence with some barbed wire or even razor wire on top. Maybe you could hire someone to serve as a guard, with or without dogs, and maybe somebody to drive past to check on the place occasionally. And I've been in and stayed in some places that are like that, in South Africa, also in Papua New Guinea more recently, in places where that security is very high because of people's fear of crime. And such measures may, of course, not be entirely foolproof, but they do give us an extra measure of reassurance and a feeling of security. Well, a Christian has much more to worry about than those who worry about a criminal element in their society. And this may not always be something that we are as conscious of as we should be, because our danger and our struggle is a spiritual one. And question 127 reminds us of that. And to say that the danger we're in is spiritual does not mean that it never takes a visible form. But it does mean that just because there is nothing visible that we can see does not mean at all that there's no danger, that the danger is gone, it's absent. And this is the reason why, unfortunately, we very often relax our guard, because there's nothing by way of danger that we see immediately around us, and we ignore the fact that even so, that danger is there all the time at the spiritual level. And that's a dangerous situation for us. The fact is, we need help all the time. And in the sixth request of the Lord's Prayer, that is exactly what we ask for. 2 points. Firstly, why we need protection. And secondly, how the Lord offers protection. Why we need it and how the Lord offers it. In the first place, the primary reason why we need protection is because of the fact that the devil is active in this world. In our text, he's referred to as the evil one. And there are those who say that the best way to translate this is to say that it's just talking about evil in general. Others say, no, this is much more personal than that. It's talking about the evil one. Or you could argue that it's referring to both. But there is a high likelihood that in this case, the emphasis is on the personal face of evil in the devil, the epitome of it. Just as throughout this book, there's been this personal, 2 Thessalonians, this emphasis on the personal face of evil through the man of lawlessness in chapter 2, and also through the perverse and evil men at the start of chapter 3. There's a similar debate about the Lord's Prayer with the sixth request itself, Matthew 6 verse 12, for example, where it talks about delivering us from evil, and some say, well, that's deliver us from evil in general, and others say it means deliver us from the devil in particular, the evil one. Our churches have chosen to translate it in the general sense, in the case of the Lord's Prayer, as deliver us from evil, to remind us that it is not only true that we are attacked from the outside, but it is also important for us to remember that evil comes not only by Satan attacking us, but also from within ourselves through our own old nature. And so that term in the Lord's Prayer is very all-embracing. But here in 2 Thessalonians, the emphasis seems to be more on the personal attacks that come through the devil and his agents. And that's certainly something that we should never forget. We should never forget that evil comes from within ourselves, sin comes from within ourselves, but we do need to remember that there is a very personal attack. Evil is not just something on the outside, like a kind of substance in the atmosphere, or like some kind of place that you can avoid, like a drug house or a house of ill repute or something of that kind. You think, well, evil's over there and I don't need to worry so much. I'm just not going to go to that place. I'm going to keep away from places like that. But it is also in the form of a personal and very powerful being who is fanatically dedicated to destroying us. Think of what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He, in other words, is dedicated to destroying you. And he's happy to have anyone he can get his hands on. He's, in fact, not fussy in that sense about who he damages or destroys, because he's ravenous, as the ravenous lion. He is the concealed assassin, shooting flaming arrows at you and your house and your family and your church. Ephesians 6, verse 16. As I prayed about it, so no doubt most of us have heard about the recent mass shooting in Las Vegas. You think that's terrible, and it is. And you think, and you see it on TV, and you think how terrifying it would have been to be part of that crowd fleeing when the bullets were flying and not knowing where they were going to hit next. But what we sometimes fail to realize is that the attacks that we face from the devil and what he shoots at us is even worse than that and more dangerous than that. Only half the time we don't even notice. And this is one of the reasons why Peter says to be of sober spirit and be on the alert, because we so easily fail to notice. Keep on the alert, remembering that the devil is a personal enemy and terrorist after you and yours. And when you remember that, it ought to help you to be alert and to be vigilant and to keep sober so that you can be alert. It's like the difference between being told that you live in an area where there have been some robberies recently. Well, there are even occasionally robberies in this area. And if you hear that, you read it in the paper, then you think, well, okay, I suppose we have to watch out for that, but it doesn't worry you terribly much. Big difference between that and being woken up in the middle of the night, you suddenly hear a noise outside, or you think you hear a noise. Could it be a footfall? And you look outside your window, one of the other windows, and see maybe a dark shape, what looks like a dark shape up against the window. And you think there's someone there. Someone's trying to break into my house. See, a big difference between something that is real and present in a personal form, and you know that they are attacking you, and hearing simply, well, there are robberies in the area. We take it a lot more seriously. And that is the point here, that we are to take the personal attacks of the devil as seriously as that. Now, of course, the devil does not have unlimited power. He is only permitted restricted access to Christians, and we see that in the book of Job. Nevertheless, in ways beyond what we probably understand and know even, he is able, it seems, to use the situations around us to encourage us to think in the wrong way, to have the wrong attitudes and the wrong responses. And the Bible certainly describes him as speaking such ideas to Eve directly and fairly directly through the serpent, and speaking such ideas to the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, seeking to tempt even him, or at times using other people such as Peter with the Lord Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. The attacks that came upon Job, not only because of his circumstances, but also through his friends. Encouraging in these various ways reactions and attitudes such as lust and pride and despair and negligence of duty and wrong priorities and other forms of disobedience to God's word. Then, of course, Satan also uses other agents to carry out his purposes. And I mention these things, the devil directly, but also the agents that he uses. I mention these things in order that we understand why we need the Lord's protection, because there is so much that is arrayed against us. The devil uses, for example, fallen angels. And again, we probably don't know all the ways in which the world of the demonic and fallen angels, in which they are operating behind the scenes in this world. We read about possessions in the Bible times. We know from the scripture that in some way fallen angels were involved in those hostile governments and powers that have been seeking to destroy God's people since the time of the fall. We know from the scripture that the fallen angels, the demonic, is involved in some way in the idolatrous systems of the false religions of this world. But no doubt there is much more going on than we are aware of. And then, of course, there are also human agents. The vast majority of them, probably quite unwitting, not aware in the least bit that they are serving the devil's purposes, and yet they are as his servants and slaves without even realizing it. Some of them carry out his purpose by persecuting Christians, which puts upon us the pressure to conform out of fear, the pressure to compromise out of fear of what consequences we will suffer if we don't go along with what the world wants. And some of that pressure comes in the form of those who encourage disobedience by making it seem like just good old fun, something attractive, something that you will enjoy. And these things, you put them together, and we know that they have a big influence on individual Christians, and they have a big influence on the church today, both the youth of the church today and also adults. And you see it coming through peer pressure sometimes, especially when you keep bad company. You see it coming through advertising and the entertainment industry. And what a big influence these things can have on God's people. Get drunk. Smoke that joint. Entertain yourself with pornography, movies on phones and so forth. On that score, just imagine what it would be like if we could somehow put the information up on an overhead projector, a data projector, put it up, not during a worship service perhaps, but put it up sometime with a list of all the movies over the last 2 years watched by members of the congregation here. All the things looked up on phones. Imagine how that might look. These things have a lot of influence on God's people. And then there's a whole raft of other things too, in terms of how we think about the world around us. The pressure of evolutionistic doctrine, the pressure of feminism, the pressure of same-sex relationships and so on, same-sex marriage. The pressure to regard your parents, to regard your church, and to regard the Bible as something outdated and old-fashioned and well past its use-by date. None of this, however, would get very far at all if there were not something in us that resonates with all that, something that wants to respond to it positively, something that wants us to embrace that, that's attracted to sin, that desperately wants to make a truce with the devil. Think of what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7. Where he talks about this in terms of the believer's flesh. Well, we could also talk about it in terms of the believer's old nature. Evil is present in me, says the Apostle Paul. The one who wants to do good, I want to do what's good. I want to serve the Lord, I want to please the Lord, but there is evil present in me that wants exactly the opposite. And I keep finding myself doing the things that I hate, the things that I know God hates. This may not be the controlling principle in the Christian's life. It may not be a principle that's permanent in the Christian's life. It may not be something that can overcome that inner spiritual life that God has created in us, but it sure is something that does a lot of damage to us. And I think we all know that. And again, I say this because we think about why we need protection. We've not only got the devil attacking us from the outside and all his allies, both the seen and the unseen ones, and on top of that, we've got ourselves to deal with. And that's a pretty powerful combination when you put it together. And it's what makes us so weak to resist sin in the first place, and when we do give in to sin, it's what makes it so hard for us, impossible for us in our own strength, to get out of it again. And this is why we need to ask for help for our own security, for our protection. Now, there is another factor in this, in our struggle with these things, and it has to do, it's not in the same category as these other attacks, but it is something that the devil uses. It's something that our sinful nature reacts and responds to wrongly. And it has to do with the circumstances in which the Lord places us. It has to do with his providence. And we know that in his providence, he overrules all our situations. All the temptation that comes to us, all the resisting of that sin and temptation, all of the giving into it, all of the remaining in sin, all of the escaping from it, all of that is overruled by the Lord. He is the one who gives Satan permission to tempt Job. He is the one who gives permission for Saul to have an evil spirit. He is the one who gives that permission for Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus, and so forth. He is also the one ultimately who sends those circumstances of loss and damage in a fallen world, not to cause us to sin, but the things which, because we are sinful, in our sin we respond to them wrongly, and they become the occasion for anxiety, or the occasion for fear, or for grief, or despair. It's not that the Lord ever encourages us to have those reactions. It's not that he ever encourages us to sin in the slightest way. On the contrary, the problem is because of us, because of our sin. The Lord sends those situations, he overrules in an overruling way. He sends those situations to us in order to train and to refine us. But we take those situations and we tend to respond to them sinfully. And so in the Lord's Prayer, we ask the Lord to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. And that ought not to be understood as a prayer that we should somehow be able to escape all of the trying situations in life and all of the tempting situations in life and all of the attacks of the devil and the opposition of the world and the problems of our own sinful nature. But it is a prayer that the Lord in his providence would not let us fall in those situations. And that on those occasions when we do fall, it is a prayer that the Lord would then lift us up out of that and deliver us from it. Because we cannot prevent ourselves in our own strength from falling, and we cannot deliver ourselves in our own strength when we do so. And isn't this what we mean when we pray, as it's often heard in Reformed churches, when we pray, keep sin far from us? That is not a prayer where we say, do not let any temptation come near us, because that would be a prayer for something that is simply not going to happen in this life. We would have to be taken out of this world for that to happen. But it is a prayer that even though we are surrounded by all of these things, we are surrounded by sin without and sin within, it is a prayer that the Lord would keep us far from giving into it, from falling into it. And that is the nature of the request in the Lord's Prayer, the sixth request. And in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, that's the answer to that prayer. That is the promise that the Lord will answer that request by giving us the very protection that we need. Well, the fact that the Lord offers protection to his people in our struggles is clear from the text. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. But how does he do so? Our second and final point, how the Lord offers protection. Because while it's true that there are people without faith and they are the ones who attack God's people, and while it is true that even though we have faith, our faith is so weak from the human side, it is too weak to resist, yet the fact is also that the Lord is faithful. He's faithful to his covenant promises. That's a matter of his infinite grace. because in our weakness we are so undeserving. And in our capitulation to the devil, we are so undeserving. It is also of a matter of the Lord's infinite power. So many enemies around us and so much trouble within. And yet the Lord is able to protect us and to strengthen us so that in his strength we overcome these things. Now those words, strengthen and protect, refer to the inward and the outward fronts of this battle. Inwardly, we struggle with our own sinful nature, which wants to be tempted. That's something we should remember. There's a part of us that wants to be tempted. And it's a part of us that, when tempted, wants to give in to that temptation. And a part of us that wants to stay in that sin when we do fall into it. So part of us wants to cooperate with the devil in that way, but the Lord strengthens us as to that new nature that he's given us so that we are fixed or fastened in place. That's what the word strengthen means here, that we're established, that we're confirmed. Like you fix a piece of furniture in place or some breakable item. You're afraid an earthquake is going to come and destroy all your precious things like your big TV set and so on. So you fix it onto the wall. But God fixes us onto his wall. He fixes us in place so that we cannot ultimately, we can be shaken but not destroyed. Then he also protects us. And that's then dealing more with the outward attacks from which he protects us, the attacks of Satan and of his allies, even from persecution and from other grievous situations, so that we don't give up but persevere. In fact, it's only the Lord who can do this. Only he, to use the language of the Catechism, can uphold us and make us strong so we don't go down to utter defeat. And when we do fall, only he is strong enough to pick us up again and to deliver us from the snare of sin. And that protection is applied to us at this in this present time in our lives in a way that preserves us through all of these struggles and all of these dangers, even while Satan and his allies and our old nature are doing everything they can to drag us down, but God preserves us through all of that. And yet, because we are still surrounded by these things and we have this old nature, God's protection is not such in this life that we never sin. That time's coming. This help does not come to us in a vacuum. The Lord has taken the security measures. Not fences or locks or cameras. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this text, the word Lord in this case probably is referring especially to the second person of the Trinity, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for us, who rose and ascended for us, so that the guilt and the condemnation of our sins has been removed. And that's one of the reasons why, that's the foundation really, as to why we do not go down to utter defeat. The devil cannot take us down to that point any longer. Moreover, through the Lord Jesus, we have been set free from the power of sin. The slaver's grip upon us has been broken. Satan can no longer control us. He can tempt us. He can do damage. But he cannot put us in a situation where we have no choice but to sin. And where we have no ability but to say yes to the devil, and where we have no options. The Lord Jesus himself also sends us the help of his word and spirit as we face those attacks from without and also from within. If you look at the armour of God with which the devil is resisted, as you find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, you can boil that down, as I've mentioned before, to two basic things, or perhaps to three. You can boil that armour down to Word and Spirit. Different aspects of the Word of God, the Gospel, and the Spirit of God to be sought with prayer. Question 127 certainly mentions the strength of the Holy Spirit, so that's very much in view there. Point is, if you pray the Lord's Prayer and you ask for protection from God, rather than that you should fall into temptation, or that if you have fallen into it, that you would be delivered from it, then that is essentially a prayer to the Lord that He will make you stronger in His Word, and that He will send the aid of His Holy Spirit. Because that is how the Lord enables us to resist on the foundation of the Lord Jesus and His work. By looking to the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And isn't that exactly what the Lord Jesus did? When He was tempted by the devil, the way in which He resisted that was with the Word of God, the aid of the Holy Spirit, as to the human nature of the Lord Jesus. So if you find yourselves caught in sin in some way in your life, and perhaps all of us have besetting sins, we certainly all are sinners. In some cases they may be the persistent besetting sins. You find yourself in that situation, and you're not bound. The point is, you're not bound to keep on walking in that sin. And you may tell yourself that, exactly what the devil wants you to tell yourself. You may tell yourself, I can't help it. I can't resist. The temptation is too strong. And there's all these circumstances in my life that make it so hard. A normal human being couldn't be expected to do anything with this, so I guess I just have to give into it. We may tell ourselves that, but congregation, it simply is not true. It is not true that we are placed in that situation where we simply cannot receive help from the Lord to resist sin. By Word and Spirit, the Lord can enable you to get out of that situation. So in those situations, how important it is to study His Word, consider what it says about the sins that you are struggling with, the things that tempt you, the things into which you have fallen, and surround yourself with that, surround yourself with the exhortations of God's Word, with the warnings of God's Word, with its solutions to your dilemmas, and pray for the aid of the Holy Spirit. Attend also to the Word preached and taught in the church. For this is where God ministers His Word to you. He's given the ministry of the church to a large extent for that purpose. To feed us, yes, but also for this protection work. And this is why, and I've said this before too, but I think this point is so important. As we live in a time where in the last few years, we find that, the last year or so especially, we find that around the Reformed Churches of New Zealand, attendance at the second service is beginning to tail off. And I'm not talking now about people who can't be there for a good reason. But for those who choose not to be there at the second service, I would say that you are not taking your danger seriously enough. If you take the danger of these constant attacks from without and within, you take that seriously, and you pray the sixth request of the Lord's Prayer, and you beg the Lord to help you with that, and then you stay away from one of the places where He's offering that help, there's something wrong. If you understand these things, then you say to yourself, I want every bit of help I can get, because this is dangerous. This is serious. All this emphasis on using the means that the Lord has given to protect us shows that His protection also includes our cooperation. We are enlisted in this battle. It is also our struggle against the forces of darkness, Ephesians 6 verse 12. Our calling to take up the full armour of God so that we'll be able to resist in the evil day. Our sanctification we're talking about. To be sure, won and done by the Lord Jesus Christ, our sanctification. but affected by the work of Word and Spirit in such a way that we are co-opted in order to cooperate with it, so that we become not simply hearers, but doers. Doers in this business of protection. That doing includes studying God's Word, praying for help from the Lord, avoiding dangerous situations, and so often we get ourselves into trouble in this way. We know better, but we gravitate towards bad company even though we know deep down they're having a bad effect upon us. We walk right into the middle of the lion's den and then wonder why things turn wrong. Avoiding dangerous situations and bad company, bad entertainment, those kind of things. And when we do sin, seeking the Lord's help to fight against that, to the old word mortify, to kill off sin. Not to embrace it as we so often do, but to fight it and to kill it off. To pursue holiness rather than to ignore holiness. And if we don't do that, then we're like someone who has paid a lot of money to get the best security system installed that they can. State-of-the-art stuff. Alarms, cameras, the works. But then they can't be bothered turning the system on and actually using it. I don't mean to suggest by that we turn these things on by our own strength. Not at all. The point of it is that by laziness, we do not always use the help that the Lord has given us, and He calls us to this. If we pray the sixth request and we mean it, then it is not with the Lord's help. It is not too much trouble to do these things. When we do this, when we lay hold of the Lord's protection, it is there for good. If we do not use it at all, the implication is that we haven't really laid hold of the foundation of it, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you believe in Him, you accept His gracious promises and you accept His gracious provisions and you love those promises and you love those provisions and you desire, in desiring them, you seek them with His help, and that includes the provision of His protection. So don't say you love the Lord Jesus but you can't be bothered about His protection. If you do love Him, you will seek these things. And for those who do that, for those who know Him, that help is there until the day that He returns and takes you away from all temptation. When he expels the devil and his fallen angels into the lake of fire and completely removes your old sinful nature. This promise, and we find it here in our text, the Lord will strengthen and protect. And the implication is He will always strengthen and protect you from the evil, from the evil one. And that is the assurance that with His help, you will see that day when the Lord Jesus returns and rejoice in it. Question 127. So that we firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Not a promise for the blasé, for the spiritually apathetic, who have no interest in these things because they do not love the Lord Jesus. But for those who, in all our weakness and with all of our sins and our struggles with these kind of things, nevertheless know and love the Lord, and because of that, we hate our sin. And we hate falling into it, into temptation. And therefore, we will seek His strong help and use the means of protection that He has provided, and He will help. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, when we ask for Your help in our struggle against sin, including the specific sins which sometimes beset us and perhaps even are now at this point in our lives, Father, do not let us do this, to seek Your help without a real desire to receive that help and to heed Your word and to cooperate with Your Spirit and through Your help to grow in grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Father, we do not want to fall into temptation. And when we do, we do not want to remain in it. Lord, you have delivered us once for all from the guilt and the power of sin through your Son. Now we ask you to help us to resist the practice of sin and to grow progressively in putting it to death. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's grace is all sufficient, even in the fiery trials which are sent to refine us and to consume the dross in our lives. Number 411, Psalter Hymnal, 411, stanzas 1, 2, 4 and 5. And would you please remain standing afterwards for the blessing and doxology. After the blessing is our doxology, we sing from the Red Book, number 145, stanzas 1 and 4. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.